Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
No Chuck today. You get me again. Dan Matthews. As told you on Tuesday, I'd be in for Chuck. He'll be back on Monday, just taking one more day off, and then we get him back to continue the college football conversation. But you know what we do here as we continue to talk college football year-round, in-season, out-of-season, chicken and green bean circuit. Explained what that meant on Tuesday for those of you that didn't know. And also, too, in the fall camp, everything in between. Hey, look, you know what? You've got a thirst. You've got a hunger. We're here to satisfy. We are here to make sure that you do not leave hungry or thirsty for college football talk, and that's what we deliver. It's going to be a fun show, as it always is here, as we have our customary three guests in the program today. Bottom of this hour, a guy that I always love catching up with, either on Twitter or just in text messages through our random just kind of annoyances or whatever it might be. But Chris Marler of Saturday Down South, you will see and hear him as part of Saturday Down South's coverage. I know he and Connor O'Gara do a great job on the Saturday Down South podcast. And boy, they've been killing it lately with the guests as well. Like I saw just recently, they had Sam Pittman. They had Eli Drinkwitz as well. So when you do great work, people want to join you. So that's definitely a feather in the cap for those guys. So we'll be talking SEC and beyond with Chris Marler. Great guy. Always love catching up with Chris. Top of next hour, we are going to be going over to Mississippi. And boy, you know, it's kind of funny how the state is really hot again in terms of football talk, because right now you've got FCS programs playing their season and Jackson State playing last week. And of course, Jackson State, what's the connection there? Well, primetime. Deion Sanders, he's there and he won his first game over an NAIA opponent. I don't think anybody necessarily thought that was going to be a strong feat for them, but it was everything that came with it. And then also, too, let's be honest here. Deion, primetime, Deion Sanders, he commands a presence. And he is somebody that usually when he speaks, people are around. They want to listen. They want to hear what he has to say. And also, too, I mean, he's somebody that knows how to command a crowd. So I just really kind of curious to see how that's holding up. And then also some Ole Miss and Mississippi State bits with him. And then bottom of next hour, we are going to be talking some Gators with Zach Abelverde of the Gainesville Sun. Does a great job covering the Florida Gators, as there's some questions to answer for them, and we'll get into that a little bit later on with Zach. But I want to start first with something that I kind of got thinking about before the show. And Adam Rittenberg, I think I mentioned this, we had Adam on the program yesterday, recently putting out college football's top 25 future quarterback power rankings. And I think that Oklahoma is one of those programs, as I've talked with you about before as well, that I am high on heading into the 2021 season. I think that they have a lot of momentum, not only coming off that absolute dismantling of Florida in the Cotton Bowl, and people out there can say, come on, Dan, Florida didn't care to be there. A bunch of players opted out, all that kind of stuff. There were still Division I players with scholarships for an elite program. Okay, let me back up there on elite. For a very good program that were on the field playing, and were playing in a New Year's Six Bowl game. So if you're on the field, you're good enough in that game. And even with the players that weren't the ones being showcased all season long for Dan Mullen's team, they're still a good enough team. So what they were able to do was pretty impressive. I'm not going to take that away from Lincoln Riley and his coaching staff for how they were able to win that game. And you also factor in as well the transfers they've got. Wanya Morris, Eric Gray. I mean, just a handful of other players they've gotten. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think somebody told me that there's a possibility that Big Cat Bryant could be going there. I need to look into that a little bit further. But regardless, so Oklahoma is at the top of their list right now. And the way that Adam did this, if you're not familiar with it, you can go to ESPN.com, check it out. It's great stuff. He's looking at the viability of the quarterback position from from this season, the upcoming one, 2021, 22, and 23. Well, those of you who follow Vegas odds, you know that Spencer Rattler, the quarterback at Oklahoma, is the odds-on favorite right now to win the Heisman in 2021. Let me go ahead and tell you people out there who to bet on for the Heisman. It's not the one who is at the top of the ring at the top of the odds right now. Because I truly believe that being favored for an award like the Heisman, it gets in your head. And for those of you watching on Twitch, you saw what I just did right there. Twitch.tv/Chris Landry Football is the way that you can watch the show if you didn't know as well. But I think it gets in your head. I really do. I think that it's one of those things that even though you try to say, you know what, I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on team goals. I'm not going to bore you with the cliches and everything that we hear because you're human. It's there. It's the elephant in the room. It's all of those different types of sayings as I break out some cliches myself. And it sticks with you. That whether you like it or not, you being the favorite for that trophy is something that you're always, no matter what you do on Saturdays, you're going to be going up against, well, is this what we expected from this player this season? We've seen it the last few years. Everybody thought that coming into year number three for Tua Tagovailoa, that he was the odds-on favorite. I remember when I went out to Vegas and I placed the bet on Joe Burrow. I didn't place a bet knowing anything. I more or less just placed it on, he's got long shot odds. What the hell? I understand that they've kind of overhauled the passing game a little bit. We've heard that in the past in Baton Rouge, but who knows? Maybe it sticks this time, and maybe it actually works. And I think that the luxury for Joe Burrow in that season was he was a good enough quarterback. I don't think that anybody doubted that about him. But he really wasn't great, and I think he was able to work himself into being great. He was able to, as the weeks went on, say, okay, I can make that throw. I can do this play. I can rely on these guys. I can rely on Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Thad Moss, Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the backfield. I can do that. So I almost think that there is value to being the one that not necessarily being talked about and being able to rise in prominence as the season goes on. Was anybody last year talking about Devonta Smith? No. Was anybody talking about Mac Jones? No. So in this case, for Spencer Rattler, that's the only thing that kind of worries me about him this season is the hype that surrounds him coming into the year. I mean, even a couple of years ago with Kyler Murray, nobody was necessarily looking at Kyler Murray and saying, oh, this guy is going to come in and absolutely not only pick up from where Baker Mayfield left off, he's going to be even better than what Baker Mayfield was. No, a lot of people didn't necessarily know what he was going to be able to bring. You saw him play at Texas A&M, but aside from that, you didn't necessarily know much about him. So for Rattler, in what is said here in the piece, it talks about him, the two-year gap, Oklahoma returns to the top of the quarterback rankings, throwing out that, although OU didn't have a Heisman Trophy winner or finalist at the quarterback position for the first time since 2015, that's impressive. Future looks bright at the position, as Rattler last year threw for over 3,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions as a redshirt freshman, completing over 67% of his passes and finishing 11th nationally in the passing rating. He was all Big 12 first team and also a semifinalist for the Davey O'Brien Award. And he also points out that they have already signed Caleb Williams. So I know a lot of people very high on him, and also added Penn State transfer Micah Bowens, who was a former ESPN 300 quarterback. Yeah, look, if you're a quarterback right now, I think there are certain schools that you look at if you're a certain position, because, you know, we always hear, oh, it's DBU, it's RBU, it's quarterback U. The case right now is I know that Chuck has talked about it being Dan Mullen, that if you're a quarterback, go play for him. And I'm not going to disagree with Chuck, absolutely, because the proof is in the pudding what Dan Mullen can do with quarterbacks. But Lincoln Riley is starting to see that right now. And not only is he starting to see it, he's putting out proven results.
last year at the beginning did not look good for Oklahoma in what they were able to do, and the two losses immediately knocked them off the map, so people just didn't necessarily pay attention to them for the rest of the season. The sad truth is they were playing some of the best football at the end of the season, but it didn't necessarily matter. All they really got out of it and all they could hope to get at that point was to win the Big 10, or excuse me, the Big 12. It only has 10 teams, but regardless, the Big 12, check that box. Go to a New Year's Six bowl game, win that game, check that box. Have most of your roster coming back this season. Have the standout quarterback coming back for this next season as well, and being able to add some significant transfers to this program. All of a sudden, Oklahoma is the hot team, right? Sure. What about the defensive side of the ball? And that's something we've talked about, is that last season, Oklahoma was the poster child for what I've told you about. Good defense, not great. Good defense. And I think that two things necessarily for your defense that you want to have are exactly what constitutes a championship-winning football team right now. Because the old adage of defense wins championships, that's out the window. Situational defense wins you championships now. Two things in particular win you championships now. I don't want to hear how great your defense is unless you do these two things: getting to the quarterback with some regularity and giving your offense an extra possession with turnovers. Those are the two things that I care about. I think kind of the case in point, really the defense that was before their time, and it was an NFL example, is the New Orleans Saints when they won the world title in 2009. That was not that great of a defense, but they did those two things incredibly well under Greg Williams. And that's what you're starting to see in college football. I mean, Alabama was a defense that got better as the season went on last year, and they did those two things very well. LSU the year before, same deal. Kalyvon Chason and the group of players that they had on the defensive side of the ball that were able to do those things very well. Those are the things that you need. Because while Oklahoma has the offensive side in the quarterback position and the high-powered offense, everything that you want, the team that everybody is also looking at and everybody wants to see take the step forward and finally win the national title and break the drought of not winning a national title in over 40 years, the Georgia Bulldogs, that's something that I continue to worry about with them. And that's something this season that I think has to change absolutely for Kirby Smart's team. Because here's the whole thing that I'm kind of getting at with bringing up these two programs. They would be the perfect college football program if you molded them together. Because you would have the defensive side and what you need from that side in terms of being able to stop the run, which, you know, that's one of the things now. Oh, hey, Georgia's defense, they stopped the run. I don't care about stopping the run. Because guess what the running game is used as mostly now? It's used to set up, it's used as something that can be an extra weapon for you for when the passing game has softened them up enough and they're off the line and you're able to maybe get yourself a few yards and also to able to help you out if the guy is great in the pass catching game and able to help you out in being able to make things happen for you offensively there. You don't need the bruising running back anymore. That's not needed. You don't need, oh, hey, you know, they've got the third down back. They've got all these other types of guys. I think that it's been proven now with what Najee Harris did last year, with what Clyde Edwards-Helaire did the year before. You need somebody who can get you the tough yards when it's necessary, sure. But for the most part, I need somebody that can pick up the blitz. I need somebody that can catch the ball out of the backfield. I need somebody that can be somebody that can be able to supplement the rest of the offense that I have and not necessarily be the key cog for it. And maybe you win a game or two because of them, because yes, that Alabama game last year, yeah, they definitely won because of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. All right, coming up next, this coach is going to be needed in order to spread significant change in college football. And I think he's got to be the first voice there. That's next right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews, and for Chuck, it is Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers, Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
If we have to go that route at some point, well, guess what? We'll get the best. But our criteria, our process will be the exact same as it is for our high school kids. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. And, you know, but as far as guys that have left our program, you know, I'm going to the locker room.
Dabo Swinney. As Clemson has begun their spring practice, started on Wednesday, I believe, is when they got started. Florida is already underway as well. So a handful of programs already beginning. Most of them, at least in this part of the country, in the Southeast, going to start in the middle of next month. Usually coaches know better in terms of knowing that, I believe Georgia used to like start theirs for a week and then take a week off for spring break. Which is just kind of like, if I'm a player, and that was more or less, I understood, by design. It was, all right, well, these guys are going to go get bent out of shape on spring break and then come back and have to do the running, the lifting, everything that goes with spring practice and the work on the field, the tough practices that there are. And, you know, it's just in a way you're kind of in football mode, so you're not going to get out of it. So most programs now just deciding, you know what, have one last hurrah. And then when you come back here, it's time to get to work. You know, one thing that's been said before that I think is pretty interesting is that, you know, at least until I looked into it a little bit further, that I believed that Nick Saban was one that was for players who would go for the draft, and if it didn't work out, having something to be able to allow them to come back in and have an opportunity to come back to school if they went undrafted, whatever it might have for you. But, you know, I believe his point is pretty valid. And I do think for the most part that, you know, for those of you that don't know, there is a Kansas senator who, with the name, image, and likeness, has proposed legislation. And one of the solutions that he believes is that players could be able to test the waters on the draft and then be able to come back to school if indeed the process doesn't work out for him. It's Senator Jerry Morin. And he believes that they could enter professional drafts without losing eligibility. But in looking at it further, you know, Nick Saban brings up a good point of allowing players back into a program is as soon as you tell a coach, hey, coach, I'm going to the draft. You know, it's been great here. I really appreciate everything. Immediately, what does that coach do? Let's look at our depth chart. Who do we have already here? All right, we've got a redshirt freshman at that position. We got a signing right there. We've got all these different types of players. They immediately start to do roster management in terms of how to replace you. Because let's be honest here, no matter how great of a college player you are, once you are out of that program, you're done. You're gone. If you're great enough, you're a number that's up on the second level of the stadium. And if you're really great, well, then they remember you for the rest of your life. But aside from that, once you leave the program, it's now time for somebody else to wear that jersey number and step in for you. And in this case, that's one thing that I really truly believe is not going to change, at least when it comes to college football, more than any other sport, is that coaches are looking for somebody who can be capable enough and can step in for that position. Are they necessarily looking for somebody as good as you? They like it, but they're not necessarily looking for it because you feel like, all right, we'll have to have numerous people try to step in and take that production. But, you know, we'll get into this a little bit further when we talk with Chris Marler. Saturday Down South, he's going to be coming up next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
No, my name's not El Nino. It's Dan Matthews. I am in for Chuck today here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Kind of playing off the song there. There you go. See? Thank you, 741. Appreciate it. Chris Marler of Saturday Down South going to join us in a few seconds. Coming up next hour, Jake Wimberly, also Zach Abelverde is going to join us as well. Today is February 26th, and I know a lot of people just say, all right, it's just another day. But for Bama fans, it's one that they truly like to really bring up and bring up a lot, especially in the state of Georgia. And let's get to Chris on that note right there. Chris, go ahead. I'm sure you want to gloat on today and be able to let everybody know the significance of this day.
I really don't. I feel bad. And listen, I was at that game. It was an incredible memory for sure. But I will say, as somebody that had to live through the kick six, I understand how absolutely miserable it is to watch the same highlight ad nauseum, on repeat for years and years and years. So, happy February 26th. I'm not gonna gloat at all.
Okay, that's fair. I appreciate that approach. No, it's, you know, second and 26. The throw to Devonta Smith, the national championship clinching play, where it was I forget what happened necessarily that broke down defensively for Georgia, but it was the one that won the game in overtime. So there you go. Let's actually talk about the Crimson Tide to get things going. Bill O'Brien taking over for Steve Sarkisian. I asked this to Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, the other day. What do you need from Bill O'Brien at Alabama? And I guess more the question for you is, what's the confidence level in Bill O'Brien with this offense after the year that he just had and the players that just left?
So it's funny, you know, I think if you ask any Bama fan, that's a rational Bama fan, so like the seven total that there are in the world, I would say that no one's excited about Bill O'Brien. Like, no one's looking forward to next year. Like, yes, we got Bill O'Brien. Can't wait. I will say, I think that the resounding attitude about this is, well, you know what? I trust Nick Saban, and I'm excited for whatever is next with Bryce Young, especially at the helm of quarterback, because, you know, he's everything that we heard about Tua coming in, this transcendent, generational type of QB. We've heard all that and more about Bryce Young. So I'm excited for that. Am I excited for Bill O'Brien? I mean, not really. I mean, I still am in the camp that I don't think Sarkisian got nearly enough credit that he deserved with the success Bama had in the last 2 years, and especially last year, because of him, like strictly because of him. But yes, they had five stars everywhere and all that kind of, you know, same old cliche stuff you hear about Bama. But I think that Sarkisian was really, really the guy that the glue that kind of held all that together, especially on offense. So I'm excited to see some of the new younger faces, but I think that, and I know that I'm probably in the minority on this one, and everyone always talks about how they reload every year, and they probably will to an extent. But I think that Bama is really going to struggle next year with a new offensive coordinator and some of those new players coming in. Because you're talking about guys that, like, the people that they brought back last year, right, from the NFL draft. You talk about a couple of guys that could have been first-round picks with Devontae Smith and Alex Leatherwood, maybe. Mm-hmm. They all come back. You bring back four guys that probably could have gone in the top two rounds, and they come back. And then you talk about having three of the top five Heisman finalists all gone. And the years they put up, statistically, it's hard to replace all that. So, yes, they have talent everywhere. I don't think it's going to be as easy to just reload as some Bama fans think.
And that is the thing. I mean, I guess to a certain point, we saw that attrition happen at LSU after the year they had the year before. And that's just, that's natural to happen. I mean, right, Chris? I mean, just the fact right. that when you have historic players and historic numbers put up, that's not necessarily something that you just say, hey, you're a five-star too. Step right in. You can do the same thing.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, that was one thing with LSU last year. And I was kind of surprised with some of the attitude of some LSU fans, which was, hey, we're going to be fine. Like, we had, you know, nobody knew a lot of those guys, you know, going into 2019, and then they become, you know, NFL draft picks, and nobody thought Burrow was going to be the number one guy. And, you know, they're going to, I know they lost Joe Brady, but they got back, you know, some of the other units and then key pieces to that offense. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as Bama fans think. And especially when you talk about, and I know it's like this every year, but you talk about an SEC West that is even more competitive and even deeper than it usually is moving forward. So I think it's going to be a lot tougher than people think.
The engagement editor for Saturday Down South, Chris Marler. You can find him on Twitter at Vern Funquist is the way that you find Chris on Twitter. Great follow, too, if you have not done so already. We'll get back to the SEC West in just a second, as you just touched on there, Chris. But let's go to the East really quick. You guys, and by the way, too, that's the other thing I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Some of you might have missed it. He and Connor O'Gara do an absolutely great podcast for part of Saturday Down South, and you guys just had Eli Drinkwitz on from Missouri. What makes you think that he'll make it work in year two and beyond at Mizzou?
So not to make this awkward, but yeah, this is something I've been talking about since the beginning of the year. Connor and I are no longer doing the podcast yet.
He's
doing the SDS podcast still on his own. We decided to just kind of try and grow the brand of SDS and move on to some different stuff. So I'm actually doing my own podcast with a good friend of mine, Tyler Huck, called College Ball Uncensored. So it's a little bit different. It is for college ball fans, I think, that love college ball, that are passionate about college football, that also may not be as passionate about hitting the bleep button. So it's a little bit little bit more unfiltered and fun like that.
Fair enough. But, I mean, Drinkwitz, I mean, are you a believer in him in what he can do at Missouri?
Yeah, I am. I think that, you know, what we saw, what he was able to do in year one, and granted that win against LSU might have been a little bit, you know, no offense, but almost watered down in terms of how impressive an achievement it was towards the end of the season. I think coming into year one, out of all the guys we talked about, those head coaches, he was probably the one that we kind of cast off the most. Just, and I think strictly because the way he looked, he didn't look like, you know, one of us, to be honest. It's like a SEC fan that grew up around here. He's a hell of a coach. He's a great recruiter. And you know, he's even more personable than both those things, maybe. So I really have enjoyed him being in the conference. And I think that Mizzou's always been a place where they've kind of feasted off of getting these, like, not lower tier, but almost overlooked three stars out of, like, Texas and places like that, or Arkansas, and also in the state of Missouri, and kind of turned them into really good college football players, and sometimes first-round draft picks, especially on defense. I think that Drinkwitz is going to be able to do a lot of good things at Mizzou. I don't know if that's going to translate into winning an SEC East title at any time soon, or even a conference title, because it's such a, you know, it's so deep, and he has so many teams in that division alone. It's an uphill battle to go against Kirby every day, but I'll say, the fact that he was able to come in year one and get kind of like a landmark victory, a program-defining win year one against LSU, and then really he was able to beat you in a number of ways. Like, it was pick your poison. Do you want them to just run you to death with Larry Roundtree the third, or should we throw with a true freshman quarterback, Connor Bazelak? I think there's a lot of positives going into year two.
Back to the SEC West, as I promised, and Brian Harsin. I mean, a lot of people curious to see what he can do and trying to be able to make that path in the in SEC country and throughout the Southeast in terms of recruiting. But what's your level of belief in him in terms of being able to take Auburn to the next level?
You know, I think I'll admittedly say that I don't know enough about Boise and his time there to have a completely solid opinion on Brian Harsin. I will say, I think we would all notice that they weren't having the same type of success as maybe they did under Chris Peterson, but that doesn't mean to say they weren't having success. I think Auburn put up a graphic where Parson was third in FBS head coaches over the past however many years in terms of winning percentage and total wins. And that's all great. But my biggest question is going to be, how does he do on the recruiting trail? And not just with transfers and everything like that, but how does he do on the recruiting trail? Because that's something Gus did not get enough credit for. Not only did he beat Nick Saban three times more than anyone else out of the current active head coaches, but he was able to get some recruiting wins and bring some really good talent down to Auburn. And I wonder how Harsin is going to be able to do that, especially with having Nick Saban across the state from you and having to battle with that every day. And also dipping in Georgia and having to compete with guys like Kirby as well. So that's what really will, I think, be the ultimate, I guess, that's what will tell me his success level, is how he's able to recruit. Because can he coach? It appears so. But how is he going to recruit against some of these SEC coaches?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of coordinators, too, I mean, you could do a lot worse than having Mike Bobo and also Derek Mason, who a lot of people are very high on in his defensive coordinating prowess. One more for you before we get you out of here, by the way, as well. Chris Marler, Saturday Down South, joining us here at Vern Funquist is the way you can find him on Twitter. Texas A&M, seems like every single year, Chris, there's a team that everybody is really high on. The hype is out there. Everything is such. Is Texas A&M's hype worth it?
So I will say last year it definitely was. I would even venture so far to say the year before it might have been, because the talent they had on the team, just that schedule was brutal. It's the five teams in the top ten. I'm going to probably sell on this one. You know, I don't know a lot about stocks, you know that. But if this is you know, a stock, I'm probably going to sell, not buy too much in. And it's not just because Kellen Mond. I think that we're seeing Jimbo Fisher get into a position where he can turn the corner, like, truly this year. They've got so much talent running back. However, when you lose four or five offensive linemen, that's one of the biggest things for me. Is it's not just how many people you have coming back from a year before and the experience, but experience up front, because, you know, games are won and lost, as cliche as it sounds, in the trenches here in the SEC. And I wonder how good that offense is going to be without a veteran offensive line that really went kind of unheralded last year and giving up the fewest amount of sacks, I think, in the SEC and top three, I believe, in the country. So I'm a little bit standoffish and skeptical about how they'll be replacing Mond and all that talent up front, but they will be able to run the football on anybody.
Chris Marler, Saturday Down South, here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Chris, appreciate the time. Before we get you out again, throw out the podcast again. I want to get people out there listening to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called College Football Uncensored. We do have a Twitter page and all that good stuff. It's TFB_uncensored, and you can find us anywhere on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So it's a lot of fun, so we just appreciate y'all stopping on by.
There you go. If you love comedy, if you love corgis, all those different types of
things.
Right. Follow Chris on Twitter as well, at Vern Funquist. Chris, you're the best, buddy. Let's catch up soon.
Sounds good, brother.
I appreciate it. Chris Marler again, Saturday Down South. And yeah, you know what? I got to agree with him in terms of what he said with Texas A&M. Is I get it that Jimbo Fisher has done a great job in terms of recruiting the right players up front, offensive, defensive line, being able to make that happen. We're going to try to figure out what they have at the quarterback position. And yeah, like you said, they're going to be able to run the football. But as I've talked about early on in the show, that's only so much of what makes you successful offensively in today's college football game, because as we've learned over the last few years, you got to have elite quarterback play if you're going to be the one at the end of the season holding up that college football playoff national championship trophy. All right, coming up next, Steve Sarkisian getting broken off for a huge deal at University of Texas. What does that necessarily mean for others who could be just like him coming down the line? There will be someone. That is next right here. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today. Dan Matthews in for Chuck.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hour one coming to a close here on a Friday. I always appreciate every single one of you out there listening to the show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck today. Chuck be back on Monday. Just like we were talking about with Chris Marler with his podcast, our podcast too as well. It's available both hours every single day that we have this very show. You can find it southernsportstoday.com on our app, the Southern Sports Today app. It's easy. Download it. We're coming up to summer and spring road trip season right now. You're going to want something good to listen to in the car. And I know that you're probably saying, oh, man, you know, we're so many months away from college football season. I mean, but I still want to get my college football talk. Good news. You can get it right there. We've got it for you every single day. Like I said, both hours there. We do not disappoint. They are there, and you can find them. Steve Sarkisian yesterday being able to have his deal at Texas approved, as he is going to be paid on a six-year deal, $5.7 million per year. That's $34.2 million, if my math is correct. Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. I'm getting the thumbs up from David, is what I'm doing. And noted mathlete, David Holloway, our producer behind the scenes. But $5.7 million for Steve Sarkisian. And on the surface level, you look at that and you're just kind of like, 5.7 for a guy who was good at Washington. The record wasn't all that great. And then probably because of his own misdoings, didn't get to see it through at USC. But then he went to Alabama, where in between there, he went to the NFL with the Atlanta Falcons. That didn't necessarily work out. But you look back as well, and we talked about this earlier in the week with Dave Bartu, and he brought up a really good point where he said, yeah, Chris Peterson gets the credit for what happened at Washington with them being able to make the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl that year as part of the college football playoff. But a lot of those guys were guys that Steve Sarkisian brought in. He upped the recruiting there. He got things going in a positive direction for the Washington Huskies program. So there's one thing that you can check in terms of the positivity for him. Like I said, wasn't great in the NFL. Flamed out in the NFL, honestly. I mean, he went there. And frankly, too, I don't think that that's necessarily fair to Sark. And by the way, that's the nickname they called him in the NFL. At least Matt Ryan, it seems like that's the way he always answered a question about him. But Steve Sarkisian, I don't think that was necessarily fair because the Falcons were really trying to get him to run an offense that wasn't his. They wanted him to basically be Kyle Shanahan. And I think that probably in hindsight, if you were to ask Steve Sarkisian, would you take the job with those same restrictions? I think he probably would have said, no, I think I probably would have stayed at Bama, continued to do the analyst game, and then at the time when it happened, be able to become the offensive coordinator and take over the program and do what he's been able to do the last few years since going back to Alabama. But finding success there and using the program the way that it's been intended to be used the last few years. We saw it rehabilitate the career of Lane Kiffin, and now he's at Ole Miss, and we're going to talk a little bit about him coming up next hour with Jake Wimberly. That's been one prime example. Butch Jones. I mean, we're going to see the way that Butch Jones looks at Arkansas State because, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, the thing that Butch just needs to not do is the cliches and the sayings, the brick by bricks, the turnover trash cans, the champions of life. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. That I think if he does it at Arkansas State, it's not going to be as huge a deal. But it was the double whammy at Tennessee where he did those. They didn't win to the level that Tennessee fans wanted him to win. And they didn't win at the level that people thought with the recruits that he was able to get in there the last few years that they could. Because people thought eventually that he was going to be able to finally beat Alabama and be able to beat Georgia regularly and Florida the like and be able to win the SEC East. He was able to beat Georgia a couple of times, but they were never necessarily able to overtake them for SEC East supremacy. So that's something that went against him. But now he's got a second chance to be able to show that he can coach and that he can lead a program and be able to do that at Arkansas State. Sarkisian is another example, too. Like I said, I mean, you know, we've seen other coaches come through there as well and have an opportunity to be able to be behind the scenes as an analyst and then also to get on the field. I mean, the two newest entrances into the Saban coaching rehabilitation program, and we've seen the jokes made about it in the past, but in this case, it's Bill O'Brien and it's Doug Marrone. And I don't think there's any doubt, because I think Bill O'Brien, in terms of being an NFL head coach, that bridge might have been burned, because that was a messy ending in Houston, and it was a messy ending from the standpoint of, yeah, J.J. Watt, after he got let go in Houston, talking about rebuilding the trust with Texan fans and feeling like that, in a way, he kind of alienated the fan base. And being an NFL head coach, I mean, there's so many different things that go with being able to do the job on a daily basis. It's more or less just showing that you belong. And I think as a coordinator and as a position coach in the league, he's shown that. But I do believe, in terms of the temperament and what it takes to do the job and do it well, his probably career path is on the college level. So it won't surprise me if he goes there and they're able to have a decent amount of success, which they're Alabama. The last few years, it's taught you that, yeah, they will have it. Even in the quote-unquote down year of going 10-2 in the regular season and going to play in the Citrus Bowl down in Orlando, which for most programs, they'd look at that and they'd say, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But 5.7 annually for the coach that I just laid out his credentials before, is that necessarily worth more than Ryan Day? And I also think, too, that if nothing else, for programs like, say, USC, if they have to move on from Clay Helton, that's not going to be cheap for them out in Southern California. Because if I'm a coach that's being courted for that job, if indeed it does come open, I'm saying to my agent, 5.7 for Steve Sarkisian in Austin, I want 6 at USC. Or anybody else that's at a program like these of these ilk. I mean, let's see what happens eventually at Michigan with Jim Harbaugh, if they ever have to move on from him and they have to bring somebody else in. It's the programs that people look at and they say, oh, we know you've got the money. Are you willing to pay for me to be your coach? Because I think that if nothing else, we're seeing, and we've talked about it before with Jimmy Sexton and the buyouts and everything that we see with college coaches, is power to the coaches right now with their representation and what they're able to ask for, because I think more than ever, it's coaches kind of looking at the situation and saying, do I have the full control? Do I have the ability to have the most success that I believe we can have at this school? Or do I stay at my current position and continue to build my resume and be able to build what people expect from me on Saturday afternoons and Saturday nights? I think these are questions that have to be asked, because now when you pay somebody this amount of money for the resume that they've had to this point and coming off of a hot season, there are going to be others asking for this. If I'm Billy Napier and what he's been able to do at Louisiana Lafayette, if somebody comes calling for him, I'm saying that. I'm saying $6 million. That's what I want. And the last part of it, too, is I'm not saying that he's not going to be successful at Texas. As a matter of fact, I think with the talent they have there, it's very much within reach for them to be able to be successful in Austin. But he is also one of those rah-rah guys. And as a head coach, I don't necessarily need my guy to be rah-rah. I need him to show me that he can get the job done. So I think that that's more than anything. If I'm a Texas fan, I'm staying to Steve Sarkisian. All gas, no brakes. That's all great. Show me you can get it done. Headlines next, open hour 2.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available, and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-340-1290. 800-340-1290. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-340-1290. 800-340-1290. 800-340-1290.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.